Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
It's good to see at least a few of you here this morning, bright and early. We don't have any particular announcements, so we will begin our worship this morning in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing our opening hymn, Christ is Risen Today. We confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Almighty God, in his mercy, has forgiven us, has sent his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a commissioned servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, the Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome death and opened the gate of everlasting life to us. Grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of our Lord's resurrection may be raised from death of sin by your life-giving Spirit, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as the first two lessons are read.
Our first reading comes this morning from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 1 through 6. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the clans of Israel, and they will be my people. This is what the Lord says. The people who survive the sword will find favor in the desert. I will come to give rest to Israel. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I will build you up again, and you will be rebuilt. O virgin Israel, again you will take up your tambourines and go out to dance with the joyful. Again you will plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria. The farmers will plant them and enjoy their fruit. There will be a day when watchmen cry out on the hills of Ephraim, come, let us worship, let us go up to Zion to the Lord our God. This is our first reading. I'm sorry. I was glad to see Ralph coming in the back door. I was distracted. He's back amongst us. Our second reading this morning comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Here ends our reading.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, where you will see him again. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go up to Galilee, and there they will see me. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to God.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, Light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated as we sing the sermon hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Over the past Lenten season, we have been talking about and considering the miracles of the Lenten season. On Ash Wednesday, we heard about 3 hours of darkness from the sixth to the ninth hour. And on subsequent Wednesdays, we considered the earthquakes. We considered the tearing of the curtain in the temple. We considered the splitting of rocks that leave fissures that are still visible today. We considered the faith of the Roman soldiers. And last Friday night, we considered that the miracle of Good Friday was God's love for us. What a miracle that is. Well, the gospel lesson for today is pretty clear about what the miracle is. The miracle today is Christ rising from the dead. Our text says that early on the second day of the week, which was a Sunday in those days, two women, two Marys, went to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. And when they got there, they found an angel sitting on the stone that covered the opening. And they were a little bit afraid. In fact, the guards who had been placed there were so afraid that they were like dead men, which probably means they had passed out. And the angel says to the two women, "I know who you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus. But he's not here. He's risen. Now I would like you to go to his disciples and tell them and share that joy with him." And they share that same joy with us today. And then on their way, they meet Jesus and they recognize him and they fall at his feet and worship him. And later that day, we read in other texts about two men who were walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus comes along and they don't recognize him, and yet they take him home for dinner that night, and when he finally breaks bread, it is then that they recognize Jesus as the risen Savior. What good news that is for us today. Christ has risen. What joy that was for the women, what joy that was for the disciples, and what joy it is for us as we celebrate this Easter Sunday. We celebrate Christ's victory over death and over Satan. So concerning that miracle today, I would like to consider three questions. What, so what, and now what? We've already answered the first question, what, Christ is risen. So what is another question that we might ask. Some people might say, well, sure, I know he's risen, but so what? Well, Paul wrote to the Corinthians an answer to that. He says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The answer to that question, so what, is really simple. Christ rose that Sunday morning, and those who believe in him have eternal life. It's just that simple. So that leaves us with the question, now what? Now what are we supposed to do? Christ has risen. How does that impact your life? What are we supposed to do about that? What are we supposed to do tomorrow morning when we get up and start a new week? How are we supposed to respond to that event that happened some 2,000 years ago? I believe the answer to that question is found in the epistle lesson for today. I'm going to read it, and I'm trying to emphasize the points that I think make the answer, and then we'll look at each individual verse and phrase individually. So Paul is writing to the Colossians. He says, "Since you became alive again, so to speak, when Christ arose from the dead, now set your sights on the rich treasures and joys of heaven, where he, Jesus, sits beside God in the place of honor and power. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't spend your time worrying about earthly things. You should have as little desire for this world as a dead person does. Your real life is in heaven with Christ and with God. And when Christ is our real life and comes back again, you will have to shine with him and share in all his glories." Let's look a little more closely at each one of the individual verses here. In the first sentence, Paul kind of introduces his premise. He says, "Since you became alive when Christ arose from the dead," well, we are already alive. What Paul is saying is that we became alive to eternal life. In other places, we know that Paul says the wages of sin is death. And it means because of our sinful nature, we all will end up dying at some point. But just as Christ rose again, Those who believe will have life again after death. Because Christ rose, there is eternal life for all believers. And now we come to Paul's answer, as I see it, to that question of now what? He says, since you became alive again when Christ arose from the dead, now set your sights on the rich treasures of the joy of heaven. But wait a minute, Paul. We're wanting to know, what do we do tomorrow? What do we do this afternoon? What do we do tomorrow morning? Am I supposed to change my investments? Am I supposed to buy that car? Am I supposed to get a new job? What is it that you want me to do today and tomorrow? Our problem is that we tend to think in terms of this earthly life, and what are we supposed to do a short distance in front of us. But Paul wants us to be thinking about more important and heavenly matters. And then he goes on to say, let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't spend time worrying about earthly things. But Paul, you would say, I have bills to pay. I have a job to do. I have a family to take care of. I can't be just thinking about heaven all the time. Paul is not saying that we should ignore the problems of today or not take care of our lives, but he's rather saying it's better if our thoughts are in the direction of heaven. It is better to be following God's commands. It is better to live a life as a child of God, because that will make all of those other things fall into place. And then he goes on with another statement. He says, you should have as little desire for this world as a dead person. Your real life is not here on earth. It is in heaven with Christ. Well, that almost seems like it's getting worse. I mean, how can we do all of those things? It's true, a person who has died really doesn't have any desire for this world. My mother-in-law is 99 years old and has lots of physical problems, and she has said on more than one occasion, I'm ready to go. She has no desire to stay in this world. And I suspect that all of us at some point come to realize that. We look at the world and we look at our life and we say, I can't win. And so Paul really wants us not to ignore the world, not to hate the world, but certainly follow Christ and his commandments, so that our life will ultimately reflect that of our destination in heaven. And when Christ, Paul goes on, and when Christ, who is our life, comes back again, you will shine with him and share all his glories. Well, that's something for us to think about. Paul doesn't consider us to be residents of this world, but rather aliens, rather sojourners, people who are spending some time here. But this is not our ultimate home. So what is it that Paul wants us to do? What is it that we are supposed to do this morning as we read these texts? Well, first of all, I think Paul wants us to recognize that we spend too much time focusing on the problems of this broken and sinful world. He would like to have us confess our sins and to receive forgiveness. He wants us to live a life that's pleasing to God. He wants us to follow Jesus' words. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus wants a closer relationship with each one of us. He wants us to care for others. He wants us to clothe the naked and visit the sick and feed the hungry. He wants us to eliminate the sinful behaviors from our lives. And he wants us to cultivate Christian virtues. Jesus simply wants us to live in a manner that's pleasing to God. But you might say, at least I certainly do, try as I might, I can't do all those things. I understand. None of us can. We don't get it right all of the time. We don't get it right a lot of the time. But let me remind you that we are here today to celebrate Christ's resurrection. We remember the reason why Christ died in the first place. And that is why we come to the table of the Lord today. We come to receive bread and wine. We come to receive God's forgiveness. We come here to receive the newness of life that is offered in that sacrament. And that is where we find the strength to put our focus on heaven, to think about those heavenly things that Paul talks about. That is when we remember that we can start over again every day, every week, every year. Today we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Today we receive a fresh start on our way to heaven. And while we struggle here with disappointments and broken things in this world, we remember that our ultimate goal is not this world, but the next. And so today we remember that because Christ is risen, we will someday follow him to heaven, into paradise, and shine with him and share with him in all his glory. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We offer our gifts to God, acknowledging that all we have comes from him. Please stand for the prayers of the church. We pray for all the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious and loving God, you sent your Son to die on the cross so that in the waters of baptism we might be raised up in Christ for new and everlasting life. Guard what you have begun in us and strengthen our faith so that we may rejoice in all your gifts. Live as the people of your grace and proclaim your saving victory to the world. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Gracious and caring God, you sent forth your Son that he might redeem your lost creation. and win for you new sons and daughters who trust in your word. Give us confidence in your word that we may not doubt or fear, but be kept in hope until the day of Christ's coming again. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Gracious and healing God, we give thanks for your loving care and healing of our brother Ralph, and we pray that you will sustain his recovery to good health. We pray your blessings on and give thanks for the medical staff who cared for him and the medications he received. We ask that you visit your grace upon all those who are sick and sorrowing, those undergoing hardship and challenges, and all who this day are in need of our prayers. We especially lift up Paula, Dan, Piper, Jerry, Dolores, and Sue. And we ask, too, that you make your presence felt by those who cannot be with us today, Tom, Bonnie, Arlen, Jean, Fred, and Marion. Grant them patience to endure when they are lonely, and remind them of the certainty of their heavenly home. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Gracious and comforting God, we also lift up your servant Chuck, who is gravely ill this morning. Strengthen him in body and mind, and especially in spirit, that he may confidently look forward to being reunited with you in paradise. And we pray that you comfort his family who wait and watch at his side. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Gracious and ruling God, you set your seal upon those who govern and command them to lead honorably in the pursuit of justice, the protection of liberty, and the preservation of virtue. Grant wisdom and integrity to the President, to Congress, to all judges, to governors, and all who lead and serve in this nation, state, and city. Guide them in what is good and right, bring peace to the nations, and protect those who of the armed forces who defend us at home and abroad. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Gracious and forgiving God, at your gracious invitation, we come to your table to receive your holy body and blood. May we find favor in your eyes to receive this holy sacrament in faith for the salvation of our souls and to the glory of your holy name. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Gracious and glorious God, we praise you for all the blessings that you have poured out upon us. Help us to live each day with thanksgiving in our hearts and praise on our lips, that others may be drawn to your amazing grace. Continue to keep us in your word and empower us to trust you in all that comes. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy and praying that your will be done through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially we are bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying he has destroyed death. By his rising again he has restored us to everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, for you and for all people. Do this in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Remembering the life of our Lord offered, the sacrifice of his death, his victorious resurrection of from the dead, we pray you to keep us in this holy faith and joy, now and throughout our earthly life, to and even to everlasting life, when we shall be one with him and in all the faithful in the marriage supper of the Lamb of his kingdom, which has no end. As our Lord has taught us to pray, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
We share God's peace. Welcome to the Lord's table. Take and eat the body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. blood of Christ shed for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace, you are free. Amen. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Blessings of God be on you this day and forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Bless we the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, you did not abandon your people to the sin and death we freely chose, but you sent your own Son to save us. By his death and resurrection, we have been rescued from our sin and delivered from death. When we were baptized, you marked us as people of your promise and gave us new and everlasting life. Help us to rejoice in this good news and daily live in this grace and hope for our sake and for the sake of the world, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. If there are announcements, please come forward. Seeing no one, there's going to be breakfast downstairs. You're all invited down there. We'll sing our closing hymn. For those of you sitting forward, Ralph is with us again Sunday. He's been had an interesting week. We're happy to see you here, Ralph. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.